Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj, a performer of many Ashwamedha or sacrifices, and a follower of the old and experienced man. Purport. Bali Maharaj, one of the 12 authorities in the devotional service of the Lord, Bali Maharaj is a great authority in devotional service because he sacrificed everything to please the Lord and relinquished connection of his so-called spiritual master, who obstructed him on the path of risking everything for the service of the Lord. The highest perfection of religious life is to attain to the stage of unqualified devotional service of the Lord without any cause or without being obstructed by any kind of worldly obligation. Bali Maharaj was determined to give up everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. He did not care for any obstruction whatsoever. He is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, another authority in the devotional service of the Lord. Bali Maharaj and the history of his dealings with Vishnu, Vamadeva are described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 11 to 24. Prahlad Maharaj. A perfect devotee of Lord Krishna Vishnu, his father Hiranyakasipu chastised him severely when he was only 5 years old. For his becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. He was the first son of Hiranyakasipu, and his mother's name was Kayadu. Lord Maharaj was an authority in the devotional service of the Lord because he had his father killed by Lord Nrisimhadev, setting the example that even a father should be removed from the path of devotional service if such a father happens to be an obstacle. He had four sons, and the eldest son, Virochan, is the father of Bali Maharaj. Mentioned above, the history of Lord Maharaj's activities is described in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnana Timanascha Kena Sarakya Chakshurunitam Yena Tasmai Sirude Mukham Kuru Vivachanam Pangam Nangayate Grinya Kripataman Vande Sigurundinatam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srimad Bhagavatam it is said Swayambhu Naradam Shambhu Kumaru Kapilu Kumaru Pravalu Janago Bisho Paniru Vayasaki Vayam. That is the list of the 12 Mahajans, the 12 devotees who particularly by their life and activities set an example which is to be followed by everyone. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how Bali Maharaj is one of these 12 Mahajans, one of these 12 authorities. Because Bali Maharaj was not holding back, he was ready to give everything in service of Krishna. And even then, Lord Vamadev tested him, because Bali Maharaj had offered this nice young brahmachari 3 steps of land. He was allowed to offer 3 steps of land. His spiritual master said, don't do it. Sukracharya said, don't do it, because he'll take everything. In 2 steps he'll take everything. Then what will we do? He will not be able to fulfill that promise. And indeed, Vamanadeva took the whole universe, the 3 worlds, which had been conquered by Bali Maharaj, who was seated on the throne of Indra. He took the 3 worlds and in 2 steps. Where will I put my 3rd step? Put it on my head. Vamadeva was not pacified by that. He arrested Bali Maharaj for not keeping his promise, and kept him in the coils of Vasuki, a serpent, a powerful serpent, which strangled him. So, it is said Bali Maharaj was hanging there, being strangled by that serpent. So, this is what he got for his devotional service. Yes, that was his reward. He gave everything for the Lord. He didn't hold back nothing, and what does he get? In reward, he gets strangled by a snake. Horrible, right? An horrific experience. And he was getting extremely weak and pale. And Bali Maharaj was really slowly losing it. He was that much affected. And Vamana didn't show any sign of mercy. Nothing. So you can imagine how much opportunity there was in his mind to just, well, turn around, turn against Vamanadeva. He said he is cruel, but he did not do so. He remained faithful throughout, and then in the end, Vamanadeva is also known as Upendra, the younger brother of Indra. Upendra. Or in other words, he is one of the Adityas, one of the sons of Aditi. And thus, Vamanadeva His mother appeared before him. Lord Brahma also. So it was like the elders came, Lord Brahma came.
He should really be kind. He should be kind to Bali Maharaj. Then his mother came. And what do you do when your mother asks you to be kind to someone? Then it gets really difficult. So finally, okay, Kamala relented upon the request of his mother. But then he gave so many benedictions to Bali Maharaj. Because he gave Bali Maharaj, then he glorified him and then gave him an abode, a transcendental abode, where Vamanadev personally became the guard of Bali Maharaj palace. So in this way he also always gave him his personal association. He didn't just give him like a short benediction, a short darshan and then a benediction. No, he gave him ongoing association. So that was a great benediction. So Bali Maharaj, by his determination, received the association of the Lord after passing the test. So that is interesting. So Bali Maharaj is one of our role models, and we are also trying to come to that state of giving anything, everything, without expecting anything in return. And we are ready. We are simply ready to face any hardship. Asking for no reward in return may even mean that difficulties will come. Then a Vaishnava understands, Krishna is testing me. He's simply testing me. He's simply testing to see that now I will not give up my dedication. It's easy. It is easy when one is getting all the benefits. I'm serving Krishna, and as a result, I'm enjoying so much. He is so kind, he's showering us with blessings. Yeah, then it's easy. Then devotional service is a good business deal. Not bad at all. Profit is better than in many other deals, so why wouldn't we? But at the time when we engage in devotional service, and still hardships come, at that time, Krishna is testing us. How serious are you really to take shot? Are you really selfless? Are you really interested in serving me without asking anything in return? Are you sure you don't want anything in return? In this way, Bali Maharaj's example stands there for us as it's important. Bhagavatam is offering us a detailed description of this pastime, Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj, just so that we can also appreciate the hardships. It may not be that that Vamanadev personally appears and takes everything away, but the material energy itself is sometimes acting favorable and sometimes giving us so much trouble. So we see in the example of Bali Maharaj, when trouble comes, we must take it. We must just take it. And always see Krishna, the Supreme Lord, behind it. That is the vision. The vision is that actually Krishna is behind everything. And Krishna is all good. Now this is not to be forgotten. There is no evil in Krishna. Krishna has no negative intention any time. So even if Krishna sends us difficulties, then we know Krishna is all good. So it must be for my good. Okay, this medicine is bitter. Very complicated. Yes, but it must be good. We must have faith. If we have faith, and then we take it. So like that. We are accepting everything is Krishna's mercy. And Bali Maharaj had that ability, and now it is our turn in our own smaller way, in our own smaller situation. We're not losing the three worlds, nor are we strangled in a huge monster serpent.
which is definitely one of those moments where you feel like, now it's taking it to the edge. Now our predicament is much less. So we must endure it. And enduring exists on different levels. There is a level where one just suffers, but one tolerates it by preaching to himself and saying, well, what can I do? You know, I must somehow or other tolerate it. This hellish, but I can see Krishna is behind it. There is another level where one is so deeply attached to Krishna that the suffering has no meaning at all. It just has become so small and insignificant. And we're seeing that in great and pure devotees. And therefore we're seeing that great and pure devotees are always joyful. It's not that there's sometimes when suffering comes, oh, they tolerate it, but they suffer like hell. And then somewhere around, I'll just ride it out for Krishna. It is so difficult, but I must carry on like Ali Maharaj. No? But then we see Srila Prabhupada, very transcendental. One sec. Why am I sustaining all the time? So Srila Prabhupada is like that joyful, struggling. And we think it's tough to preach. Right? It is not easy to preach. Yeah? I mean, people are not waiting, you know, like for us to tell them that this is it, this is the way, you know. I mean, they say all kinds of things. So it's not so easy. Prabhupada went all alone. What opposition, right, to face. One might become intimidated, all alone, coming all alone from India, and being old also, and being at an advanced age, a whole life used in India. When Prabhupada went to America, he took with him some cereal in the Lilamrita. I don't know what it was. I think it was dalia, right? Which is some grains. But he took something with him so that he could survive in case there was nothing to eat. He was thinking like that. He's thinking like America. There may be nothing to eat. Nothing. He says, all right, then I'll eat whatever grains. At least I'll have some survival kit. He took it with him, just in case, you know, until I figure out something to eat there. So he was ready to go into the most difficult circumstances. I remember that in Chicago, in America, we used to go to some big public festival. And we'd go on Harinam there, and then there was one lane which the devotees would call the mouth of Agastura. You know? And then this lane that's just lined up with different meat stalls, right? And the smell, it's like you could really remember the Krishna book, the smell coming from the mouth of Agastura. So then we go in there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh. The mouth of Agastura. Terrible smell. So, like this, you know, in preaching, one has to sometimes go into abominable places, into the mouth of Agastura. But what Prabhupada did was just much greater. All alone, facing Kali and his unlimited agent. All alone, trying to convince them. Yeah. So anyone would be a little bit intimidated. Yeah. But Prabhupada was not intimidated because he was all alone, living very closely with Krishna. He wasn't just praying to Krishna. When Krishna is far away, when Krishna is far away and we are going through life, then we go on our knees and then we pray to Krishna. Oh Krishna, help me, please, please. I am here on this ocean and the waves are too much. Oh Krishna, please help me. No, that was not Prabhupada. Krishna was there, very close, very, very close, very near to him, all alone. So Prabhupada was not like, yes, he was going through the hardship of on the Jaladutta, on these big waves of the Atlantic, and it was getting a bit too much, especially when heart attacks started to happen. But it wasn't that ever for a moment he was far away from Krishna. Krishna was there, and therefore Krishna showed that also. And then he had the dream when Krishna was rowing the boat, very calm, on the ocean, and said, "Don't worry, don't worry." And the sea became extremely calm, like it had never been. And the captain, later the captain said, when they were safely in America, "Swamiji, you must come back with us. You must come back." He said, "We never had such an Atlantic crossing like when you were on board. The ocean is so calm, Swamiji. Ah, you must come again. I need." Like that. So, yes. When a devotee is so close to Krishna, then Krishna is also so close to the devotee. But if we think, yes, yes, I know, I'm serving Krishna. But at the same time, sometimes I really wonder, is Krishna really protecting me? Is he only protecting his pure devotees? It says that Krishna protects his devotee, but I'm not really a devotee. Who is in the category of a devotee? And what criterion does Krishna apply when he says he protects his devotee? You know, maybe I'm not a devotee yet. I'm trying to be, but I'm having a hard time. And so now what? Will he protect me? Is Krishna really protecting me? And like I really feel left alone to struggle here, and I don't know if I can take this. Really? No, I'm serious. I'm coming to my limit. The circumstances are overwhelming. I don't know what to do. I think I'll go under. I mean, I don't know where to go. In all directions, the alternatives look equally bad, and now what do I do? But Krishna is very close. He's here. So, just turn to Krishna. And somehow or other, when we turn to Krishna, it becomes bearable. It doesn't mean that everything just dissolves, everything goes away, but it becomes bearable. It becomes suddenly possible. Suddenly we can somehow or other survive it, deal with it, carry on, and that is the best. That is the best. So that is our process. Vasishya Diti Vishva. So therefore firm faith that Krishna will protect us. He surely will protect us. He is protecting us all the time. But we can't see it. Arjuna couldn't see it. Remember at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, there is that instance where Krishna says, Arjuna, now get down from your chariot and take your bow and quivers and get down from the chariot. So Arjuna steps down from the chariot, and next moment his car catches on fire. My car! I mean, that's a serious thing for a man, you know. My car, right? Is the wonderful chariot that he received from Agni. That chariot, that special celestial chariot. Of course, it was his pride to have such a chariot. Anybody, you know, would like it to have a special chariot. Oh, yes, Arjuna did. And then it just burned in front of his eyes, and he's shocked and he said, Krishna, how is this possible? How can this happen? This chariot,
This chariot is invincible. This invincible chariot, how can it burn? It's not possible. During the battle, so many powerful weapons were shot at this chariot. Nothing happened. Nothing could harm this chariot.
Yes, Krishna said, yes, my dear Arjuna. Nothing could happen to this chariot.
Because all along I was protecting it with my energy. That's why nothing happened.
Otherwise it would have burned 100 times. Yes. But it didn't burn, and said, now that the battle is over, now I will no longer give that protection to that chariot. And therefore now it has to burn due to all those weapons.
All those weapons that were fired at it. And Arjuna was shocked. Oh my God. I thought it was my chariot. I thought I had an invincible chariot. And invisibly Krishna was protecting my chariot.
And Arjuna suddenly, you know, felt like all humble and stood before Krishna and offered prayer. Oh Krishna, you know, I am only dependent on you. So it is like that. Krishna is active. Krishna is making so many arrangements. You know, we are chanting Hare Krishna already for 6 months or 2 years or 12 or, you know, on hundreds of and millions of lifetimes. This lifetime, we're already chanting Hare Krishna this lifetime. And, you know, we have become now experienced bhakti yogis. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Maya, go away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Get out of the way.
In this way, we think we have become bhakti yogis. But what we don't see is that invisibly, Lord Chaitanya is there, right, at every moment, blocking out the attacks of Maya. Otherwise, we would have long fallen down 100 times, 1,000 times. Who are we? Who are we that we can live by these exalted standards? We know who we are. In the morning, when you're brushing your teeth, and you say, good morning, handsome. And that time, you know very well who you are. Very well. But sometimes you get a little proud. So, in this way we must realize that Krishna is with us, actively protecting us, now. That we are devotees because Krishna is helping us very much. And that we don't need to worry. He is helping us. And He will help us. He is Bhakta Vatsala. He will help us according to the need of the situation. So, there is no such thing that the situation will actually go to the point where we cannot take it anymore. That's the mind. And see, when we are approaching a difficult situation, then we see the waves coming, and we think, the next wave is going to go over my head. And so far I kept the head above water, but I'm sure any of these waves is going to wash over my head now. It's going to happen any moment, and then I'll drown. That's going to be the end, a miserable end. But it's not like that. Somehow or other, Krishna will keep our head above water. Maybe the test is very heavy, but it will not bring us to the point where we lose full control. Somehow or other, Krishna will make arrangements. He will help. He will send different help at every time. He'll send someone. He'll send someone who also went through some big waves or something and can tell us how they went through it. Life is like that. I experienced once, I climbed in the Himalayas. This is many years ago, because nowadays I just walk in the foothills. I don't have a desire anymore to go to the top of a mountain. I look at them and go, nice mountain. But in my younger days, I had this desire that when I saw a mountain, I wanted to go to the top. gone.
So I was somewhere up there, and you know, I'm sitting, and I found on the mountain, I found a little point of maybe 1.5 meters, just a point sticking out of a steep mountain wall with a nice, soft, grassy, a little bit of grass on it. It was like a perfect seat. So I sat down on my Vyasasan. Yeah. I had the little peak, and my back rest was the mountain. And I thought, this is the place. Now I'll do some meditation. So, you know, expertly, doing mudras and everything. I was getting ready. And then, as I was meditating for a while, I saw suddenly something down there. It looked like smoke. And I go, smoke? And then it started to come up the mountain. It rolled up the mountain. And I sort of started realizing they're clouds. They came from down, not from above, from way down there. Usually the clouds come from above, but they came from way down and they're rolling up the mountain. And next moment, I'm in the middle of the clouds. And it started raining like buckets, you know, serious. Right? Torrents of rivers are flowing on all sides, like past me, you know, waterfalls of this mountain. And my little nice grass patch turned into slippery mud. And suddenly I realized it wasn't 100% like level, it was sloping downwards, and it sort of was holding myself not to go like over the edge. It was quite steep. And I was thinking, you know, and it was getting freezing cold. And I was thinking, it's already late afternoon, and soon it's going to be dark, and then it's going to be really cold, and I'm going to sit up here freezing the whole night, because how will I get down this slippery mountain? Yeah. I mean, it's just too slippery to go down right now. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I just, like, in my mind, I was already reading the article in the newspaper, you know. I mean, Dutch tourist found dead in Himalayan foothills. I'm going to get out of here. And it was getting worse and worse, you know. I was already having the funeral and everything. I got to really gonna miss me and this and that. And I could understand too. That was a real drama. But then, you know, somehow or other, the clouds disappeared. Yeah? The clouds disappeared, the sun came out, and, you know, my clothes dried up, and even the mud dried up, and after a while, well, the rock was drying up. I said, well, you know, maybe I'll venture down and just try to go down. You know? I'll try to go. So, survived it by Krishna's grace. So it is like that. When you're in the middle of the cloud, it really looks like too much. But somehow or other, Krishna pulled me through this. Krishna helped me. And Krishna does. He does. He's there. So no, he's not. Yes, he is. He is helping us. But he's not taking it away, okay, not fully, but he's giving us some strength, and somehow or other we deal with it. So this is what we ask Krishna for. Tolerance, strength. It is said that, I was reading it the other day, it is said that at the time when we surrender to Krishna, we say, Krishna, from this day on, I am yours. And then Krishna accepts us, and Krishna immediately gives us strength. He immediately gives us spiritual strength. So this is truly how it is. Spiritual strength is a gift from Krishna. And we can't take it for granted. We have to again earn it again and again. And when we are spiritually strong, by the mercy of Krishna, then everything is possible. Nobody is born spiritually strong. It's not that there are some devotees who are spiritually strong and some who are spiritually weak, and I happen to be one of the weak ones. What to do? You know, maybe my karma. Karma is insignificant. Karma is not really a major factor at all in spiritual life. good karma, bad karma, it's not very important.
It's a little helpful, but or a little bit detrimental. But devotional service is so much more powerful.
And when we take shelter of Krishna, he can help easily. Like as that statement where Prabhupada says, "Oh Rahu, you have a bad Rahu." Krishna can kick out millions of Rahus, Prabhupada says, like that. So that the Rahu is the karma, a little bit of Rahu karma. Oh, I'm in my Rahu period. We go to an astrologer and the astrologer says, very bad, you are in a very bad period, and this period you will not be able to do anything anyway. Wear a pearl. Pearl will help you, and a ruby also. Yes. And yes, and we can do a little pavitra for you, and we can do some pujas, and then that will help a lot. But it will be a difficult period. Don't worry about it. Just put faith in Krishna. I took sannyas in the middle of the Venus period. Just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What to do? Now I'm out of that. But whatever. This is astrology. Right? We're so worried about it. But it may be that there will be some difficulty. But then take the difficulty as an impetus to take shelter of Krishna. That's all. And when we turn to Krishna, he will not turn us away. And that we have to know. So it's very personal, this process. We sometimes think that we are following a process. It's a process. The process of bhakti yoga. No, it's personal. One should not think it's a mechanical process. It's a personal process. There is a process, and the process is to attract the mercy of Krishna. Yesterday someone knocks on my door and knock, knock. Do you need a massage? No, thank you very much. Oh, I'm still not married. Can you help me? Oh, I'm sorry. I took a vow not to get married. Solve that problem. At least to my side. Yes, you may not be married, and someone else will come and will say, I am married. Can you help me? whether married or not married, right? Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. Yes. It's both is a problem, actually, to be true. It's a problem when you're not married, and it's also a problem when you're married. Yes. Both is a problem. Both is a problem. Really. But when we are trying to take shelter of Krishna, you try to make the best of it, right? Of any situation. And then take it as you come here and say, yeah, but still I want to be married. No problem. But see what comes. See what comes. It depends on Krishna. And for some people, I don't know, they have, it doesn't come. All right. Then take shelter of Krishna. Simply like that. So that is the spirit, and we see Prahlad Maharaj, right, is an amazing personality. If you look at the history of Prahlad Maharaj, second half of the purport is about Prahlad Maharaj. And then Prahlad Maharaj, he is always remembering Krishna. That is his amazing quality, that whatever happens, he doesn't forget Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj doesn't just forget Krishna, he stays perfectly calm. Right? They throw him in a pit with snakes. And if you would throw me in a pit with snakes, I would also chant Hare Krishna. For sure. I know, from experience, when the circumstances are extreme, then I chant Hare Krishna. Once I went on a plane, it was like a very small propeller plane,
and was flying actually from Melbourne to Mildura, and this plane was known as the Cigar.
That was the name of the plane.
And this plane, it was very wobbly, and that particular time the weather got bad. And my God, you know, that plane, I mean, I've never been on a plane on a flight like that. And it was a 1 hour flight, and I chanted 16 rounds in 1 hour. I've never managed to do that again. But on that plane, I could. I was chanting like so fast, like I've never chanted 16 rounds in 1 hour. Oh, God. Until I was back on the ground. Oh, what a flight. Right? But Prahlad is in a pitless sense, and he's totally relaxed, accepting whatever Krishna desires. I'm in his hands. Prahlad was not praying to Krishna and just meanwhile seeing himself as the controller. I'm the controller here, and I pray to Krishna to help me get control over things. I'm the controller and things are out of control. I need help for Krishna. Krishna, please help me to get things under control. No. Krishna is the controller. We have nothing under control. And like whatever he wants. Draupadi, first holding on to the sari with two hands. Then, hey, Govinda, both hands in the air. It was their mission to purchase Krishna. That point. And she says, yes, I'm not the control. I'm not even trying to control with your help. You control. And you can see Prahlad completely had that move. Alright. You know, if I'm meant to die of snake bite, then that's what it's gonna be. If I'm meant to live, then that's what it's gonna be. Krishna knows best. He knows best. Whatever's there. So we have to develop this mood. Depending on Krishna. Krishna knows best. And that takes time. But that is spiritual life. It is said that Prabhupada is writing in a purport in the first canto about sannyasis, and he's saying that sannyasis would go into the forest, into the jungle, which was full of wild animals. And that's a fact, you know. I was once in the Himalayas, and I went for a japa walk into the forest, and suddenly I see a head of an animal watching me. I just look at it and I see him quickly go behind the tree. What was that? And then I look the other way, and there's another one. What was that? Jackals. And I tell myself, jackals are okay, jackals are afraid of human beings, they don't do anything, only when you're dead or seriously wounded. And then I look everywhere, more jackals. 20 jackals around me, I'm surrounded by 20 jackals. At that point, you ask me, get out of here. And you start thinking, Hare Krishna, is there, what if I have to fight with the jackals, right? I have to fight with get a stone or something, would that do the job? 20 of them climbing a tree, and then all the things go through the mind, right? Yeah, like that. But ultimately, Krishna said he would send the sannyasis into the forest to become fearless, because that is what a sannyasi should be. Abhayam Sattvasam Sudhir. Fearless. That means you can only be Abhayam, fearless, if you have that trust. Krishna will protect me. And every devotee should have that. And we should cultivate that. Not rely on so many external things. You can be very, very relaxed because you've got a credit card. In case, just in case, you know. Here it is. Yeah. Visa card. Like that. False security. I've got my family. My family. I can always fall back on my family. Bhagavatam says, Atmasan Yesu Asitsuyapi. Fallible soldiers. How can they protect us? They're fallible themselves. They are subjected to the same thing. How can they protect us? No, but they will help me. Anyway, when we turn to Krishna, the more we turn to Krishna, and the more we take shelter to Krishna, of Krishna, the more we'll attract not only the mercy of Krishna, but also the mercy of Krishna's devotees. Because when the devotees see, oh, this is such a nice devotee, they will help. They will help. And everything will work. So we have to develop this mood of dependence. Dependence and trust in Krishna. To trust. Krishna will protect us. Prabhupada said, these devotees that are living in my temples, they have everything. He said, they have the best food. They have the best place to stay. They stay in palaces. Who has a living room like this? Look, you know. Ooh, ooh. Fancy stuff, right? Yeah. Who has that? Right? Yeah. Separate. We have a dining hall. Best food. Best clothes. Prabhupada is saying, even if they want to get married, then they get the best marriage. Yeah. Like Prabhupada says, material happiness is rolling at our feet. How can I serve you? Best of everything. Well, one might want to present the other side of the coin. But Prabhupada saw like that. And Prabhupada said like that. And if we learn to see through Prabhupada's eyes with a positive attitude, then everything is all right. The karmis are very much into this thing about positive thinking. And it's a big thing, positive thinking. And you know, like a little while ago, devotees were also watching movies like What the Bleep and The Secret and so on, which is all about how you think, you know, the law of attraction. Whatever you think, that you will attract. Positive thinking. Now, there is a law of attraction in the universe, but it's not us who are attracted, or attracting. We are the attracted. And as long as we are in the role where we try to become the one who's attracting, will be getting in trouble. But when we allow ourselves to be attracted to Krishna, then that is the law of attraction. And then everything will start to work out. Then we'll really attract good fortune. But in this movie, like What the Bleep, you see some people saying, like, you know, ever since I have this this mood, you know, since I know about the law of attraction and thinking positive, you know, my income has doubled. It's Americans who say,
I used to make $20,000 a year, now I'm making like more than $50,000 a year, you know, since I know about the law of attraction.
It's a real American movie, you know, commercial. But the truth is, we must become it. If we allow ourselves, stop fighting it, just allow ourselves to be attracted to Krishna. Spend some time with Krishna. Allow ourselves. Oh, chanting is so difficult. Well, practice it. Yesterday I saw the kids trying to play volleyball on the beach as I was chanting my rounds. And they couldn't keep the ball off the ground, you know. One kid throws it up in the air and boom, ball falls on the ground. Yeah. And I saw the same in India, by the way, in Mumbai, when Indians were throwing frisbees, right? You know, they wanted to be like Westerners, right? So they're throwing frisbee, but they don't know how to throw it. Now maybe they do, but at that time they didn't, right? So they were throwing the frisbee And then no one would ever catch it. No one would ever catch it. It would always fall on the ground. And then they run after it. So they thought that the fun of playing frisbee was about the running. Whereas obviously the fun of playing frisbee is about catching and throwing in funny loops behind your back.
Acting as if you're not trying to catch it in the loop.
Yeah, that's frisbee. Because of now, I'm sure, since you all came to Australia, you learned all those things. the point is children like that are playing, they don't know how to keep the ball off the ground. We are like children and we're chanting and we're fingering beads and we don't know how to connect with Krishna when we're chanting. But if we carry on, if we practice, then we'll get the fun of chanting. If you go on with volleyball, then you get to chant up and down, one, two, and right in front of the net, jump, bang, smash, hey, block, we blocked you. So, the ball is back in your court. Then it's fun. Yeah. So, in chanting also, Abhyasa Yoga, you take like practice. Krishna? Okay, so now I've used up the time. And now it's your turn to respond with a question or a comment, if you wish.
One comment, that when you were telling about the flight, Dasa Prabhu told us in Mayapur, he was in his flight, it was a jet plane, and it was going up and down.
Yeah.
He was the only person who was chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
And saved the whole thing.
I don't know. Yeah.
So there was confidence in Krishna.
Yeah.
Everything in Krishna.
Yeah.
And also,
even if you die, even if the plane crashes and you die, it's still not lost. Still not. Some of the devotees also died. But then they understand that, alright, their time came and they died. And then Krishna may or may not protect our body, but he will always protect the soul. So even if he doesn't protect our body, it's time to die. No problem. Huh? Prabhupada was ready. Prabhupada, what will you do when a bomb will come? So, oh, here comes Krishna in the form of a bomb to kill you. So Prabhupada was not worried.
And Srila Prabhupada gave you the name Kadam Khan.
Oh.
So Krishna keeps you in his ears, always keeping with the ears. You know what this is?
I'm sure. Yeah, well, that is a blessing, that's true. That is a good name. Because it's connected to Vrindavan, so that is some. But all these, that is the nice thing about spiritual names, that like Krishna, you know, by Krishna and Guru's arrangement, or Guru and Krishna's arrangement, you got the name Mahatma. So that's like, you know, right? You always thought of Gandhi is the Mahatma. I don't have to be. You know, so Gandhi, he did that already. I didn't have to, but now you have to be Mahatma. So these names are blessings, great blessings. That's nice about these names. Anyone else?
I remember when the verse says that the child will be also like a follower of the old and experienced men. What does that mean?
Well, there are. It is said in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that discussion comes up, where about the elders, right, and where Arjuna is saying that he should not fight with the elders, even if they are wrong. Okay? He says maybe they're wrong, but it will not be beneficial if I fight, because society needs the elders. And Krishna, if I go and kill all the elders, then who will protect us? Because youth is sometimes inclined towards deviating from the path. And it's the elders who live in wisdom
and who are aloof and who keep us on the path. Therefore, one needs the elders. You see that you have Dhruva Maharaj later, when he's a king and he's killing all these yakshas because of his brother, and he's a good fighter, and he gets really carried away and starts killing too many yakshas, even innocent ones. Then the elders come. Swayam, Humanu and Govira, they come. And the elders, they are aloof. They're elders, so they're no longer in the middle of the action of life, right? They're no longer busy like everyone else trying to control the world. They are aloof. They are absorbed, these elders, in the worship of the Lord. But when Dhruva becomes like, starts to create like a big disturbance, then the elders come out of their absorption and for a moment descend to the worldly platform and give advice. And because they are from a very aloof platform, their advice is very deep and it is thought out from all sides, and it's not like the type of, it's not a passionate advice. And therefore their advice is really very helpful. So one needs such elders. They are our anchors. You know. They are our anchors. Of course, one is really an elder by spiritual qualification. And even a young man can be older if he is spiritually very qualified, then he's also an elder. Yes. But the elders are like that. They are absorbed in remembering the Supreme Lord and aloof. And those ones we always need to take shelter. Not that, you know, that it's from okay. No, not like that. They must be spiritually advanced. Krishna is controlling everything.
Why we are endeavoring?
Krishna is controlling everything. Why are we endeavoring? Krishna is Parameshwar, and we are. Krishna has made us Ishvara. So it's not that Krishna is the only one who's working, and we are just passive. No, Krishna has made all living beings also control us. So every living being can control something. Yeah. So it is our duty to, within the field of our activities, to understand our position. And it is said, in this field of activities, there are two knowers of the field. One is the proprietor, and the other one is the cultivator. So, if we think that we are the proprietor of the field, then we are doing it wrong. If we understand Krishna is the proprietor of the field of our activities, and we are the cultivator, then the relationship is proper. So in this way we can simultaneously depend on Krishna and be active and make an endeavor also. We are cultivators, we are working for Krishna. So that is our business. We must be Krishna's agents in this world. So we have to be very active. Not that we are lazy and say, oh, he's controlling everything. Not that we are, you know, so many people in India have said, if he makes me a devotee, I will become, but he is not making, I am waiting, if he makes me. So that's Krishna is the controller, right? And not seeing that we have ourselves any responsibility. We are also controllers, but not Parameshwar. So we are servants of Parameshwar. We control on his behalf. Then it is nice and proper.
He was talking about astrology, Maharaj. What's your opinion? Is it beneficial or not?
Srila Prabhupada, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the birth chart applies to that which takes birth, and the soul never takes birth. 11 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's one answer. Another answer is found in the Hari Vamsa. A supplement to the Mahabharata written by Vyasadeva himself, so a very authorized scripture. In the Harivamsa, There is also, just like in Bhagavatam, a description of Kali Yuga, and all the symptoms of Kali Yuga are described, and then it comes to the Brahmanas, and it says, and in Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas, instead of worshipping the Supreme Lord, will take to astrology. Okay, so, now, so that shows something about the limitations of astrology. Now, Prabhupada himself used astrology. Prabhupada said that they did a chart, and it said that at age 70 he would go preaching, and that he would create many ashrams and temples and so on. And it was in the chart. Okay. So, clearly, Prabhupada quoted that astrologer and accepted. So, astrology is a science which can make our karma visible. And we can see the position of the planets, and that's the makeup of our karma. The only thing astrology can never see is Sukriti. Sukriti is benefit from spiritual activity. So, you know, karma determines certain things, and astrology can see that. But Sukriti is credit from spiritual activity. That kind of Sukriti, it can change all the karma. Therefore, predictions, the predictive aspect of astrology doesn't really fully apply. I say fully apply for the devotee. Sometimes Krishna may let the karma happen. Yeah, but it doesn't fully apply because Krishna interferes. After all, the fan is slowing down, and we're getting diminished reactions. Srila Prabhupada told to Giri Maharaj, yes, the devotee, devotees are getting diminished reactions of karma, and Krishna is controlling that. Krishna is there as the controller, and sometimes he lets it happen, and sometimes he interferes. So therefore, astrology, we cannot rely on it. If it says, at such and such age you should die, the line in my hand says, it can change. Chennai Krishna, serve Krishna, everything can change. So therefore, we can use astrology a little bit. Now what if you want to get married? Should you have a chart done? Compatibility?
Very important. Did you get the chart done? Did you get it done? It's absolutely essential. No, you didn't get the chart done.
No hope. Well, you know, the chart will tell you what you have in common and what you will not have in common. Right? And I was married for 24 years and we did the charts later, and then the story says, well, not so compatible. Anyway, we were married for 24 years, so it's pretty good. There were some sparks sometimes, but the one thing that was keeping it together, the one thing we had in common was Krishna consciousness. So if there's enough Krishna consciousness, then you can share that, even if you have nothing else in common. It doesn't matter. So therefore, even in a marriage, in a devotee marriage, the Krishna consciousness is the main factor. Therefore, if anyone wants to get married, I tell them, okay, you can look at the charts and that's nice, but make sure that whoever you marry is Krishna conscious. You know, check out that one, that they're really Krishna conscious. Even if it's a beautiful chart, but if they're not serious about devotional service, don't marry them. They'll give you hell. So Krishna consciousness is ultimately the real criterion above astrology. So, I mean, I try to make a balanced answer. Like, I'm not against astrology. Gangeshwar is doing astrology. I think he's a good astrologer from what I hear about what he does. And I think it can help us, but it's not the Bible. Not the Bible. Or the Bhagavad Gita. Don't just buy every word. So now I'm forced to be in Rahu for all these years. 19 years. It's going to be 19 long years. I'm doomed for the next 19 years.
Don't worry about it. Chant Hare Krishna and be in ecstasy. And laugh at Rahu. Rahu. Good on you, Rahu.
Are we done? Looks like it. All right. Thank you very much.
Jai.